We continue because there are two groups of Christians. Sincere Christians, sincere, they are very sincere. They love God. That is what that parable in Matthew 25 tells us. One group is foolish. The other group is wise. And I emphasized, I said that it is not because they did not have oil that is why they were foolish. It is because they are foolish. That's why they didn't have oil. Amen. These ones are already wise. That is why they knew how to prepare for the soon coming of the Lord. They are already wise by nature. So, evidence that they were wise is that they had oil in their lamp. Evidence that you are foolish is that you are serious in the church, serious in serving God, but you are foolish. Foolish, so foolish until you don't even know what is expected of you to get yourself ready for the soon coming. And the unfortunate thing is that those, you are not going to heaven because you are sincere.
Amen.
You are going to heaven because you were ready. That's what we'll be talking for the past services. Now today, there is a parable that the Lord Jesus Christ gave that I want us to look at what he meant by that parable. In Luke chapter 16, from verse 1 up to verse 17. Please be patient and listen carefully to what the Lord Jesus Christ was saying there so that we know what to learn from that.
And he said also,
and every parable that Jesus Christ gave is concerning his church.
Amen.
Concerning the kingdom. Concerning the relationship of God and his children. Concerning his agenda. Concerning the composition of the church, to make you understand what this kingdom of God is and what it is not. But he spoke them in parables so that only the wise will understand. Now listen to that parable. It's a common parable. All of us know it.
And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee?
He was a steward, but he wasted his goods. Go ahead. His master's goods.
How is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg, I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his lost debtors unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50.
Note verse 4 again. Verse 4 again.
I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses.
Please, I want to emphasize this. Verse 4 again. What is his decision? Knowing that very soon he will be sacked. Very soon he won't be in charge again. There was a wisdom he applied. That is the wisdom of the wise. What did he say?
I am resolved what to do, that when I'm put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Verse 5. So he called every one of his lost debtors unto him and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill, and sit down quickly, and write 50. Then said he to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill, and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward.
He commended him.
Because he had done wisely.
Mm-hmm.
For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourself friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations.
It is this verse 9 that confuses you people.
That's right.
There is a way Christ will drop something and, he wants to bring something, he will leave something to confuse those that it's not meant for. This verse 9, that's what confuses people. But go ahead.
And I say unto you, make to yourself friends of the mammon of unrighteousness,
yes,
that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations.
Uh-huh.
He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much.
Uh-huh.
And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much.
Uh-huh.
If ye therefore have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches?
Go ahead.
And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own?
Uh-huh.
No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will owe to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon.
Uh-huh.
And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things.
Listen, again.
And the Pharisees also.
Who were what?
Who were covetous.
The covetous of Pharisees. They are Pharisees, so they are religious people, but very covetous. They had all these things.
And they derided him.
They were angry with him.
And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men.
Uh-huh. Before God, men, they are seeing you. You are the righteous people. You are this, you are that. Eh?
But God knows your hearts.
Uh-huh.
For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God.
Again, for that.
For that which is highly esteemed among men,
uh-huh,
is abomination.
Please, read that again. That for that.
For that which is highly esteemed
among men
is abomination in the sight of God.
This scripture doesn't mean that if a big man and people honor you, you are an abomination before God. That is not the meaning. Go ahead.
The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail.
Listen very well. God bless you. This parable of the unjust servant, I want you to note the wisdom of the unjust servant. The servant was a shrewd person. Listen. I pray that somebody will catch something here. This man, he did not steal. What he was guilty of was he wasted or mismanaged his master's goods. It's mismanagement. He didn't steal. Jesus was only praising his foresight, not his dishonesty. The aspect of that man's action, what Jesus was praising, he was praising him that he has foresight. He was not praising him for his dishonesty.
That's right.
The manager knew his time in that place is ending. The manager knew that he will soon lose access to the money that he had control of. Because it doesn't belong to him. Therefore, because he knows that his time will soon end, he needed to prepare for what will come next. After he has no more access, he's now removed from access to this money that he has been using. So while he still has control over his master's money, he used them to save his future, to secure his future while he was still in control before his access will end. What he did actually is he traded temporary wealth for a lasting relationship. He traded temporary wealth. He traded it. He used it to secure a lasting relationship. And so here's the wisdom, the lesson we have to learn. We are in verse 8 and verse 9 of that Luke 16.
And the Lord.
What did the Lord say?
And the Lord commended the unjust steward.
He commended the unjust steward.
Because he had done wisely.
That actually, he had done wisely. He had done wisely. Wisely. For the children of this world, he said, are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And in verse 9.
And I say unto you.
What did he say?
Make to yourself friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations.
So, from that verse 9, you can see he has now gone into salvation. He has now gone into relationship with God. He has now gone into a principle of the kingdom. The Christian, you and I, you are that manager, you are that steward, you are that servant. The goods in your care now is this earthly wealth that you have. That is the goods that man was to manage. They are not yours. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. This is what Apostle Paul also said.
For who maketh thee to differ from another?
Uh-huh.
And what hast thou that thou did not receive?
What do you have that you did not receive? Everything that you own on earth here, you didn't come to this earth with it. You received it. You received it. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 7, 8, 9, and 10. 1 Timothy. Concerning wealth.
But godliness with contentment is great gain. Verse 7.
Verse 7.
For we brought nothing into this world.
We have brought nothing into this world.
And it is certain we can carry nothing out.
At the end of your sojourn on earth here, when you are going, you are not going to carry anything you own on earth here to the grave. To the life hereafter. Go on.
And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil.
He didn't say it is wrong to be rich. That is not the context there. It is those who put their trust and all confidence and everything on money. They are those he's talking to. Always remember that death is an appointment for every human being. For it is appointed once to die. After that, you will meet your maker for judgment. What will you be judged for? The Bible says every man shall give account of himself. What will you be judged? What is God requiring of you is what he will judge you for. Death will end your life. Death will end your job. Death will end your wealth on the earth. Therefore, the wise manager needed to prepare for what comes next. Now, when I die, what next? Therefore, while he still has control over his master's money, he used them, like I said, to secure his future. And to a Christian, what this parable is saying, Jesus Christ is saying, use the worldly wealth given to you by God to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Where will you make those friends? Where you are going. Where you are going after you die, you'll be somewhere. In Luke chapter 19, verse 15.
And it came to pass that when he was returned,
the parable in Luke chapter 19 is making this very clear. The nobleman there is Jesus himself. Traveled to a far country and committed his goods, work, talents to his servants. And he will come back and demand what you did with the talent he gave you. Talent there is money. Because that's what they were using in trading at that time. That's how they, that was the means of commerce. Call it talent. 30 pieces of silver. Talent, talent. So he came back now, verse 15.
And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded his servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound has gained 10 pounds.
So you are supposed to use it, and you give account, what did that money he gave you, what did it gain? What is, of what use is it that you present? Whatever you got, what did you use it? You give account of it, yes?
And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities?
Uh-huh.
And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord.
That is it. So if you read on, everyone had a reward after the master came. What did you do with your talent? And today the emphasis is on the money that God has given you. Don't be like the rich fool in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 from verse 13.
And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me.
Okay.
And he said unto him, Man, who hath made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness.
Again.
Take heed and beware of covetousness.
See, where all your problem is what you inherit on earth here. Why?
For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth.
Hey! Again.
Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses.
The reason is because there is nothing you own here that is your own. Read on.
And he spake a parable unto them, saying,
something that is not your own, you are killing yourself over. Something that when you die, your control over it is finished. Why are you killing yourself over to the detriment of your soul? Then he now spoke that parable,
saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully.
Mm-hmm.
And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits.
Hey.
And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and will build greater.
Uh-huh.
And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say to my soul, so that has much goods laid up for many years.
I will
years.
Say, not to God though. I will say to my soul. Uh-huh.
So thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry.
Uh-huh.
But God said unto him,
thou what did he say?
Fool.
You see why I talk about the foolish virgins and the wise virgins? It's a foolish person that would think like that. God say what?
Thou fool.
Uh-huh.
This night thy soul shall be required of thee.
Okay.
Then who shall those things be?
Who shall those things be?
Which thou hast provided.
Okay, now.
So is he that layeth up treasure for himself.
You lay up treasure for yourself here on earth.
And it's not rich
and
toward
you
God.
Are doing nothing. Heaven does not see the impact of the wealth they gave you here. The Bible says you are a fool. It's foolishness. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 18 uses a language that makes everything clear. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 verse 18.
Yea, I hated all my labor which are taken under the sun.
Okay.
Because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool.
The thing that you are laying, somebody is going to inherit it. You don't know what will happen after you are gone. They may be pretending around you now, praying praying for you to die and go so that they will take over. You don't even know the prayer they are praying. Either because they are your children or they are workers or they are the custodian of something you kept that they should secretly keep for you so that people will not to know. I won't know whether that person you are leaving that thing for shall be a wise man or a fool. Yet
shall he have rule over all my labor, wherein I have labored, and wherein I have showed myself wise under the sun.
This also is what?
This also is vanity.
Vanity.
This is also vanity.
Vanity. Vanity. Vanity. So what shall it profit a man, a woman, to gain the whole world and lose your soul? Last week it was announced that Elon Musk is no longer a billionaire, he's now a trillionaire. You are still counting 100. I have 700,000 in my account. Another person, I have 100 million in my account. 800 million in my account, I'm a millionaire. Another one is, tell you, I have only 80 billion. 80 billion. 200 billion is my what? This man now don't come up from billion. They say he's the first trillionaire on earth. Amen. And he's an unbeliever. What shall it profit a man? You gain the whole world and you lose your soul. That's what gave rise to that songwriter, Brother Afar, from the Savior today. He said, risking your soul for the things that decay. Oh, if today God should call it away, what would you do in exchange for your soul? Oh, yeah. Galatians chapter 6.
Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things.
The next
be
verse.
Not
that
deceived.
Is the verse I'm looking for. Again.
Be not deceived.
Again.
Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap.
Now listen to the next verse.
For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption.
Oh.
But he that soweth to the Spirit.
So you can sow to the Spirit.
Shall of the Spirit
reap
life,
what?
Life everlasting.
This here, life everlasting here, he's talking about enjoyment. When we go there, when we leave this earth, it's true. The Bible says, he that winneth a soul. It's wise. It's an investment you put here to win souls. You are wise because you will be rewarded. You will be received with open arms when we get to heaven. Even Proverbs chapter 11 verse 24, 25 and 26.
There talk is about that scattereth,
yes,
and yet increaseth.
Oh,
and there is
he is always scattering, giving, 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 yet he never goes broke.
And there is that withholdeth more than his meat.
Then there is the one that keep more than you need.
But it tendeth to poverty.
And at the end, that's also sorrow, sorrow, problem, 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 problem. Yes?
The liberal soul shall be made fat.
Again,
the liberal soul.
It's a principle. Nobody me write this Bible, oh. And he
that watereth shall be watered also himself.
He
that withholdeth corn, the the people shall curse him.
Hoarders.
But it's blessing.
Yes.
But blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth.
Verse 28.
He that trusteth in his riches shall fall.
He that trusteth in your riches, what will happen to you?
Shall fall.
You will fall.
But the righteous shall flourish as a branch.
It's not here, it's where we live here. The flourishing there, when we live here, the estate that we shall be. That is why Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19, from verse 19, had reason to admonish us.
Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth.
Again.
Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth.
Uh-huh.
Where moth and rust doth corrupt.
Corrupt.
And where thieves break through and
they,
steal.
They showed us the property of one of these rulers in Uganda. Everywhere, a whole estate that was abandoned after his death. Grass grew everywhere. I've forgotten the name of that leader. The one he took over from was who? One of these East African leaders. No, it's not Uganda, sorry. Congo. Listen, not only that, they show me another one in the East. Nigeria here, Eastern Nigeria. The cars that were packed. The latest design. Different. Amen. You know, we can learn something from the world. I was reading something recently about one of these popular footballers. And he was going to buy a private jet worth 68 million dollars. It was just the next day they were to bring the document so that he will sign and the money will be released. And in the night, he went to visit his mother and was announcing the good news to the mother that now your son is going to own private jet, 68 million, is the best private jet. Then the mother said, oh, praise God. Ah. And said, sit down, let me tell you the story of your life. When you were young, no father, no mother, just me, laboring, you used to trek up to 10 kilometers to go to school. Every day, go and come back because of our condition. To so school, when we were in so village. He said, that was your condition until God brought you up to where you are today. He said, that story changed his psyche. And he said, right there are still people, children of the poor, that are still trekking like that. In that same place where God brought him out from. Now that God brought him out from that place and made him rich, he's going to remember that place. He canceled the purchase agreement and bought 100 buses for schools in those villages and provided for them free transport. And he said that when he turned and looked at the happy faces of those children as they happily entered those buses and they drove from those buses, that he felt very, very fulfilled. It was more fulfilling for him than to have been flying over those schools where God brought him out from with his private jet. These are people who understand life. Thank God for a mother like that. And thank God too for a son that can listen to the mother. The mother was telling him indirectly with that story that you have forgotten your roots. It's true. The truth is that many of us forget that God. Which verse is that? Deuteronomy chapter 8. Read it from verse 8. What does it say?
A land of wheat.
That's where he's taking you to.
And barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates. Yes. A land of oil, olive, and honey.
Yes. Where he's taking you to.
A land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it. Uh-huh. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. Uh-huh. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he has given thee.
Uh-huh. Read on.
Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God.
Beware. When you reach there, remember where you came out from. And you reach this land, the prosperity is everywhere. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God.
In not keeping his commandments and his judgment and his statutes.
Go on.
Which I commanded this day.
Go on.
Lest when thou hast eaten and art full.
When you are eating and you are full.
And hast built goodly houses and dwell therein.
And hast built goodly houses and dwell therein.
And when thy herds and thy flocks multiply. Uh-huh. And thy silver and the gold is multiplied.
Then what happened?
And all that thou hast is multiplied.
Then what happened?
Then thy heart be lifted up.
Uh-huh.
And thou forget the Lord thy God.
Uh-huh.
Which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt. Uh-huh. From the house of bondage.
Listen very well.
Who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness.
See your testimony.
Uh-huh. Your hearing were fairy, serpent, and scorpions, and drought,
uh-huh.
and where there was no water.
Uh-huh.
Who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint?
Uh-huh.
Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna,
uh-huh.
which thy fathers knew not, that in my humble thee and that in my prove thee to do thee good at the latter end?
Uh-huh.
And thou say in thy heart,
you will say in your heart,
my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth.
You think you are smart, that's why you are where you are today with the wealth you have. Uh-huh.
But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God.
Hey.
For it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth.
Okay, so you understand that parable now. He is the one. It is God that giveth thee power, I'm reading.
Power to get wealth.
To get wealth. That you are better than me, you have more money than me. It's because God chose you to give you the wealth, but he didn't give me. You didn't work hard to receive it because you are not working harder than me. It is not because you work very hard. There are people that are working harder than you. But God chose you to be the one that he will give you his resources on earth to handle. Every wealth you have is God's own resource. He has given you for a purpose. That is exactly what I was teaching the prophets yesterday. I say, always remember that when you see the gifts that you have, when they say go to Bride Assembly, when you go to Bride Assembly, look for Prophet Joseph Oguajo. The reason why they say look for it is because you are holding God's property. There is a grace he gave you. They are not coming to look for you because you come from Uromi. There is something in you, that is why he's directing people to you. He gave it to you for the purpose of that person that has been directed to you. Be careful how you deal with everybody that you meet. It's true. There is a reason why God chose you to put you in a particular church. Let me use my own church here, Bride Assembly Church. We know many of you that came here with nothing. It is here God bless you. He bless you because with money, because the church will need that money. The money is not your own. It's for the ministry. The wise will hear me now. I'm coming to you, the Pharisees. I'm coming. I'm talking to those who have ears to hear. Praise the Lord. Read it again, verse 19, Luke chapter 6.
Luke chapter 6, verse 19.
Yes.
And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all.
And Luke chapter what? Chapter 6, verse 19. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. I'm sorry.
Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth.
Lay not up for yourself what?
Treasures upon earth.
Uh-huh.
Where moth and rust doth corrupt,
uh-huh,
and where thieves break through and steal.
Uh-huh.
But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven.
Where?
In heaven.
Uh-huh.
Where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt,
uh-huh,
and where thieves do not break through nor steal.
Uh-huh.
For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
Uh-huh.
The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thy eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light.
Uh-huh.
But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness?
Verse 24.
No man can serve two masters.
Again.
No man can serve two masters.
Uh-huh.
For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will owe to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon.
And then you'll understand Luke chapter 16, verse 10 now. Luke chapter 16, verse 10, 11, 12, 13. Hear what
he
said.
He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much.
Uh-huh.
If you therefore have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon,
uh-huh,
who will commit to your trust the true riches?
And where are the true riches? In heaven. The glory that we will have. They were given 10 cities to rule. 5 cities to rule. The little one they gave you here on earth while you were here, you were not faithful with it. How do you expect God to give you something better when we go up to heaven? That's what he's saying. Read on.
No man, verse 13.
Verse 13.
No man can serve two masters.
Yes.
For either he will hate the one and love the other.
You can never love this world and love God at the same time.
Or else he will go to the one and despise the other.
Yes, now.
You cannot serve God and mammon.
It's true. That is why in service, it is required in stewardship that a man be found
faithful.
Faithful. Faithful. Faithful. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 2 says so.
Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful.
Uh-huh. To the Pharisees, anytime you are talking anything, some people think that, you know, when Jesus is talking, they will never get the revelation. They will think that he wants to pull them down. If you read it from verse 14, let's read on the Pharisees. Luke chapter 16, where we
and the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him.
Uh-huh.
And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your heart, for that which is highly esteemed among men,
yes,
is abomination in the sight of God.
What is it that is highly esteemed among men? It's wealth, earthly wealth. Why is it an abomination? It's because people worship money. And anything that takes the heart of the people from God or shares the glory of God is abomination before God. It's not because you are Reverend Doctor. It is because men are worship. Anything that men worship is abomination before God. Anything people esteem, because if you don't have money, nobody regards you. So people are regarding you because of your money. And that thing that people are regarding that has made you to be who you are carrying your body anywhere, and all attention is in it, God is looking at it as abomination because he hates it. Pharisees, Sadducees, read on.
Verse 16.
Yes.
The law and the prophets were unto John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail.
Hallelujah. And so in Psalm 62, verse 10 and verse 11, listen to what the admonishment of the scripture.
Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery.
If riches increase, what should you do?
Set not your heart upon them.
Go on.
God hath spoken once. Twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God.
Which power? Power to be who you are belongs to God. Power to acquire all you have belongs to God. He said, I told you people the testimony of my friend. You're a billionaire. You have businesses everywhere. And I was at Ikoyi, so I was near his house. I said, oh, let me just branch and see if he's at home. Let me just say hello to him. And when I entered, it took him time before he came down. And when he came down, he said, today is Wednesday, Brother Moses. It's because they say you are the one. It's because you are the one, no? Today is completely dedicated to me and God. I off my phone. You tried to call me, Abi. I said, yeah, the phone was off. He said, I off all phones, everything. And I told him, I said, but you have businesses everywhere. If your attention is needed, don't call. And he quickly said, I beg you. That is the excuse most people give. If I paralyze you today and I'm hospitalized, he said, business will continue. He said, people deceive themselves. They don't have time for God. They're busy. He said, this busy, it's not because you are running up and down. He said, let something strike you, bagger. He said, the business will continue. So if they call me, they don't get me, they will call another person. Or the thing will wait till I finish. Hey. He told me, I learned a lot from this such people, because one day I told him, I said, I believe there is a reason why God brought me to you, to each other. There is something I will learn from you, and there is something you will learn from me. I said, I'm watching out for what I will learn, because I know I didn't come to you so that you give me money. God didn't link us so that you will give me money. But there is something I will learn from you. We are to provoke one another unto good works. A billionaire will come here and be praying and sweating. And yet he told me one day, he said, Brother Moses, he said, all that I need on earth here, God has given me. The only thing I'm working on now is my eternal destination. You see him pray until he will sweat coat, he will remove his coat. Then one member said, this man is already rich. What thing they pray for like this every time? So he told me, he said, you know, here I said, after million, there's billion. After billion, there's trillion. I said, who told you that there is nothing more? Well, we just said it in a lighter mood. We laughed. A billionaire, when I got to know one day, he branched to my house. He called me, was at the airport. His sister Clara told him, say, I beg, I'm coming to your house to eat. I'm just landing from Dubai also. And I told my wife to prepare something. When he left, he said, now fast, he want breakfast. Your wife, no day house. Nobody day house. He said, make a branch here. And then he told me, he said, that I have been in this fasting for the past 1 year. What did they find like this? And I look at him. If a billionaire will fast like this, me, Unko. I saw me to close my mouth. And I finished 1 year. And I discovered that the benefit of it is too much. And it's now almost more than 7 years now. I eat once a day. I learned it from him. There are other things I learned from other people. Just give me a few minutes more before we close. In Proverbs chapter 3, what did he say in verse 9?
Honor the Lord with thy substance.
Yes.
And with the first fruits of all thy increase.
Yes.
So shall thy barns be filled with plenty.
Uh-huh.
And thy presses shall burst out with new wine.
Uh-huh.
My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord.
No, it's okay. Verse 9 and verse 10. Acknowledge him. Acknowledge him in all you do. How do you acknowledge God? Acknowledge God because you know I am who I am. I am where I am today. It's by his grace. Connect him to everything you do. And the only, well, you know, some people believe that when they are paying tithe in a church, they are doing the pastor a favor. And they seek special recognition for what they do. And if you don't give them that recognition, they will stop supporting the ministry with their finance. They will look for another ministry and be supporting them. Here, this man. It's because you have not caught that revelation. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. This is what Apostle Paul had to say from verse 6.
But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver.
Uh-huh.
And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work.
Uh-huh.
As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever.
Uh-huh.
Now, he that ministereth seed to the sower.
Now, you see, that is where I am going.
Now, he that ministereth seed
the
to the
seed
sower.
The seed that you sow, that thing that you gave out is a seed. Where you gave it is the ground that you are sowing it. And this is what Apostle Paul is saying here.
Now, he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown.
Multiply your seed sown.
And increase the fruits
of your righteousness. Because you do that in recognition of God. The prayer continues.
Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God.
Yes.
For the administration of this service, not only supplieth the wants of the saints,
but what?
But is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God.
When you do that, people are praising God because through you, people are blessed. People's prayers are answered. And they give thanks to God by your ministration. Uh-huh.
While by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ,
uh-huh,
and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men,
uh-huh,
and by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you.
Uh-huh.
Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable
gifts. The church will say, therefore Jesus is using, in summary now, is using this parable to tell us to use the wealth that we have for eternal purposes. That is what the wise virgins do. Years back, there's an American that came to sponsor the prison ministry that I was part of, the West African Prisons Outreach. And that day, I remember we came to when Sheraton Hotel Ikeja in a meeting in his suite. He was a millionaire, and he made this statement. That is warning everybody that this money that is releasing to sponsor the gospel, that it is money from his business. I can never forget it. He said that the money is not his own. That God is blessing him, making him rich so that he will sponsor the gospel. And he was telling them that, please, let this money is releasing be truly used for the gospel. There is a way he put it that set me thinking. That is why I say, the foolish virgins, we are already foolish by nature. The wise ones are already full of wisdom. It is not the offering they give that make them wise. It is because they are wise, that's why they are giving the offering. There is a sister. I don't want to call her name. She's a worker. She's an online member. The last Holy Ghost baptism program, she was in Nigeria. And we had discussion. And she said something. Because I had to ask her, every month you send so much money to this ministry. Every month. She doesn't send anything, she sent 3 million naira. She has sent money. Emmanuel and the deacon. She has sent one time 5 million. Correct?
Yeah, she sent it to the group.
She said, those who are doing something, let them share it among them to increase their capital.
Yes, sir.
Another time she sent the same amount for orphans, the deacon. And she keeps doing that. Concerning all the groups, I think Bright Television, she has her monthly contribution. She will send the money and break it down. This amount is for this. This amount is for this. Then this amount, please give it to these people in the church. When we were doing this, our land purchase, she sent us 20 million two times, making it 40 million. And she's a worker on salary. Though she works in an oil company. So I asked her, how do you make... I don't understand. Can you help me understand how you spend money? Because there is nothing in her that shows that she has money. If she stands here, you won't believe that she can. She has 10,000 naira in her account.
That's right. Not by size.
And then she told me, she says, sir, that she has always known that the money she has does not belong to her. She said, at the end of every month, she takes only what she needs. And she has her budget for the month. And as she takes it, she says, any other thing extra from there goes to the work of the Lord. Nobody told her to do that. She has never heard me say anything like that. She says, if she does otherwise, she's scared that God will be angry with her because she believes that that money belongs to God. There's a brother also in our midst. I know the brother when he came here, it was here. After a particular program, he told me his testimony. Nothing. That he did what the preacher said he should do. And somebody gave him little capital, and now he has blown up. If you see him in the church here, they tell you the way he appeared that the brother who has 1 million around your account, you will never believe. Elder Ambadue, you know who I'm talking about. For this, our project, he gave us 60 million naira. When I asked him, he said, he begged me, he said, please, sir, it is between me and God. I don't want anybody to know what I am doing with my finances. There is something he owed. One of those pastors wanted him to follow him when they were leaving the church.
Big fish.
He saw him as a big fish. I was going to convince him to follow him. I understand. He doesn't even know that I know this. That he told the brother that was going to start the church. He said, the person God told me is my pastor. Is this man, Pastor Moses. There is a reason why God put him here and bless him with what he does. And he regularly supports. And many more. I'm just mentioning one. Many more here that support this ministry financially. And we never go to them to ask or beg. Never. Then what is it that spawns them to come out? It's because of a wisdom that they know that what God, what they have is given to them by God. But the foolish virgins are like that rich fool. They accumulate for themselves and leave nothing for the kingdom. Therefore, if God blesses you with material wealth, set not your heart on it, but be rich towards God. That money you have is called kingdom wealth. It is not yours. Don't be like these fraudulent politicians and government officials in Nigeria. That give the resources of the country for them to manage for the good of the nation. They convert it to themselves and send the country to the condition that we are in here today. Do it so that you will not be rejected when we get to heaven. Because you didn't make friends up there, angels will not welcome you. You did not prepare to meet them there, knowing that your time will soon end. Your wealth is God's wealth. Every amount you have belongs to God. You are only a manager and not the owner. I want to stress it. You did not create it. You won't keep it. You are only a steward for a season. It is, if it is yours, you will keep it. But if it is God's, you are accountable for what you do with the wealth that he has given you. Your time is ending because you will soon die. It is a fact. Your manager position on earth here will soon expire because one day you will die. Therefore, because the money that you give today will do you eternal good when you die. It will do you eternal good when you die. You cannot support the work of God in the grave. Don't wait and say, I will give my will. I will will everything to God when I die. It's not acceptable before God. Who are those that will execute the will? Your children, your neighbor, the government of Nigeria, the bank, you kept it. So while you are awake, alive now, be like that unjust servant. Prepare for homegoing. Sow in the progress of the gospel. Those of you doing it, you are wise. Continue. Don't let anybody discourage you. Don't let any situation weaken you. Sometimes when you do that, Satan will come and attack your finances to make it look as if you see you wasted it. You didn't waste it. You didn't waste it. What you sow, don't worry. It's what you have, you give. It's what you have, you give. All of you that come to church for offering, come and squeeze offering for your hand. Okay now. Don't worry. If that money is yours, then you will know. One day. Am I speaking to the wise here? Can I see their hand? Hold to God's unchanging hand.
Is filled with sweet transition. None on earth or the mold can stand. Build your hopes on this eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hands. Him who never lived.